So today is going to be just a little bit different. I've decided that the best way to preach the Word of God today is through our three readings. So don't be alarmed. It won't be too long. But it's just so cool how all these readings serve the big picture of God and what He does in our life and through our life, and helps us understand what our identity is with God. And so our first reading. Well, let me just start in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when God curses, it's effective. When God says, curse it is, that's the case. And we know from Genesis that God cursed the earth with the rebellion of Adam and Eve against His true and clear word. And we hear now in Jeremiah the echo of that curse. For in truth, the whole human race has been cursed by God, and that's what God has done. But I want you to take note what God promises to also do. And this will be the basis of our confession and absolution, our first reading, as well as serve as a portion of our sermon. So this is Jeremiah chapter 17. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. So all who do that, any from the youngest to the oldest, are cursed by God when they trust in man, trust in men and women, boys and girls, trust in Republicans, trust in Democrats, trust in the president. All who do that are cursed by God. Or who make flesh his strength. How many ways do we trust in our muscles, or trust in our minds, or trust in our money, and despair when we don't have money, minds, or muscle? I said that right. See, there's a curse there. There's a curse, and it's a curse by God. People who trust in man instead of the Lord, whose heart turns away from the Lord, this is how God describes that person, male, female, young or old. Verse 6, this person is like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. This person shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land. In other words, this person's life will not live up to what God wants it to be. So, brothers and sisters in Christ, how many ways do we trust in the wrong people, places, and things? Gosh, how many ways are we willing to give in to mind or muscle or money, trusting in those things instead of God? Do you really want to be this kind of scrub brush in the desert? How many of you want to do that? How about this? Verse 7, blessed is a man whose trust in the Lord, or puts her confidence in the Lord, whose trust, confidence is the Lord. This person is described differently by God. Look at verse 8. This person is like a tree planted by water, that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes. And heat does come. It's not a matter of if, it's only a matter of when. And is not anxious in the year of drought. And droughts do come, and it can seem like it can go on for a long time. But that person does not cease to bear fruit. Good works of thought, of word, of action. Now, how many of you want to be that kind of a tree? Let's raise our hand. Okay, come on. Participatory sermon, yes. And yet I must confess that too often I'm that scrubby, scrawny thing in the wilderness. And I don't want to be that. How about you? How many of us want to be the tree? All of us. So do you repent of the ways that you've trusted in people, places, and things other than God like I am right now? Do you repent? Do you change your heart? Let's humble ourselves before God. Dear Lord, you have gathered us to your Son, in whom we have salvation. life now and life everlasting. Forgive us for all the ways that we have put our trust in anything other than you. And Lord, we do want to trust you. So forgive us for Jesus' sake. But there are places in our lives, Lord, where we lean way too much on ourselves or others. And Lord, we confess those things in a few moments of silence right now before your throne of grace. Hear us now in Jesus' name. Thank you for hearing us, Father. The good news is that God understands our condition and he can come to where we're at. How does the hymn Joy to the World go? He comes to make his blessings known. Far as the curse is found. Far as the curse is found. Never thought you'd be singing an absolution, right? So, yeah, my land has been cursed by God, and yet to this very land, God brings his Son to the rescue. Emmanuel, God with us, who reverses the curse within my heart and mind in his love and his forgiveness. And that curse is reversed in your life as well. We are blessed by God for the sake of his Son, who willingly went the way of the cross to take upon himself all of our sin and imperfection, all the ways that we have fallen short, so that now, for Christ's sake, you and I are blessed from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet, where we've been, where we are, where we're going. You and I are blessed. And all of God's family says, amen. Amen. And so, you and I, in the gift of forgiveness that God has given to us, whenever we first heard the gospel, when we were baptized, whenever it took place, when God gave us this new identity, blessed by God, you and I have been living in a relationship of faith. And it's interesting, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. This was his congregation he started, and this church is really struggling with all kinds of things. And Paul is doing his best to spiritually coach them from the sidelines, because it's up to them to live their life. It's up to them to be the church that God wants them to be. And so he's coaching them, and as he works them through all the issues, he makes sure he's got them plugged into the gospel, because it's in the gospel that the church is alive. It's in the gospel that the church can be everything that God wants it to be. And so our second reading is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. And I want you to just take note as we go through this, what the gospel does and how it saves us from God's wrath. Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved. It's an ongoing process. It's present. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. So, before I go on, you don't go to heaven being a member of this congregation. You don't have a trip to paradise by giving money. You don't have any access with God's favor by showing up for a work day to work on things. You have only, through the gospel, access to God. And you have that by simply believing it, believing the good news. That's what makes you a Christian. That's what makes me a Christian. Believing in Jesus is what saves us. And how many ways do you and I need to be saved in our lives across the spectrum of a day? How many ways do we need Jesus? Just beam me up, Lord, save me, hold me, Jesus. You know, that's what faith does. That's how faith talks. Lord, you're my only hope. But there are times in your life and my life when we start trusting in our own skills, our knowledge, our abilities. We trust too much in the people around us. And then we find ourselves struggling and falling underneath the curse of God. And so Paul wants us to understand that calling to mind the gospel is what saves us. Calling upon the Lord is what makes us stand firm. This standing is more than just a physical standing. It's a standing in your heart and your mind. I mean, how many ways do our thinking get feeble wobbly legs. How many ways do our actions, we start second guessing ourselves, but we can stand firm in the gospel. And that's what Paul is saying here. And then he goes on and he shares the gospel. Let's read it together. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep. So that's the gospel. That's what changes everything in your life and my life. That's what makes us stand when nothing else can prop us up. That's what rescues us across the spectrum of our challenges in life, that nothing else can rescue us. That Jesus died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried, rose, and appeared. That's the gospel we can stand on. And when everything is falling apart, that's the gospel we can fall on and still stand, trusting in what Jesus has done for us. Trusting in what Jesus has done for us. And what a gift it is, this good news, where not only did Jesus do all this for us, but in the gift of the gospel, he gives us everything he's done perfectly. And so we, in God's eyes, are favored. Through Christ, you're awesome. Through Christ, you're holy and above reproach. That's your identity, my brothers and sisters in Christ. And all this is because of what Christ did for you and for me long ago. The benefits of his salvation continue to bless us. And we can draw upon it anytime we need to. There's a psalm, it's not a psalm, it's a proverb. I can't tell you what it is. Maybe it's 10:25 or 18:25 or 18:10 or 25:10, I don't know. But the name of the Lord is a strong tower. A righteous person flees to it and is safe. So during the course of the day, anytime you need to, call upon the name of Jesus. He is, for you and for me, the solid foundation we stand on and we can move from. Now, this is important to the Apostle Paul, this good news. And so he goes on to explain more about it. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me. For I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain. You know, think about it. Maybe there are things in your life you think, gosh, Lord, I just wish I could have. Man, I can't believe. Stop that. God has written his gospel in your life. You're his masterpiece. And the very place where you maybe have some aches, let the gospel sink in. Let the gospel bless you. You're blessed by God in the gospel. And so let it do its wonderful work so that you don't need to say, I'm ashamed of this, I'm ashamed of that. I am what I am by the grace of God. That's who you are. You're blessed by God. That's what it's about. So then Paul goes on. As I find my place, let's see. Whether then it was I or they, so we preach, and so you believed. Now, if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? See, some of the people in the Corinthian congregation weren't even believing in the resurrection. They were struggling. They were struggling with that truth. And so Paul's trying his best to coach from the sideline the power of the resurrection. And so he has to make some logical points. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise if it is true that the dead are not raised. And if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those also who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hoped in Christ, we are people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so Paul makes sure they're plugged into the gospel. Right after this portion in chapter 5, he does the big therefore. Therefore, in the view of this, be immovable and superabound all around you, steadfast in what Christ has done. He's the solid foundation upon which you and I can stand. No matter the heat that comes, no matter the drought that blows in and sticks around for a while, it's not a matter of if those things happen, it's only a matter of when. But when those things happen, we can say, I'm blessed by God, and I'm standing on the gospel, and if you have to fall on it, you can fall on it, but still stand, because what Christ did, he did for you. The challenge with this blessed life is that we can be misled with some of our own thoughts and some of the thoughts of others. I call it the distinction between the theology of the cross and the theology of glory. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus makes it a point to help us understand what the blessed life looks like. I mean, we all know what we would like the blessed life to be. We'd like it to be where we'd never have any problems. We could go fishing anytime we wanted to or whatever. But the blessed life is different. According to the theology of the cross, your life and my life is blessed by God in Christ, no matter what blows into our life or blows out, no matter the struggles that we face. God's going to use those very things and bless us. The theology of glory says, you know, if you're good and if you follow God and you trust in him, you'll have a great life. And if you don't do that, it won't be easy to find a parking place at Walmart. Or things will go wrong and you'll just know it's because God doesn't like you. And that's not the truth. And yet the theology of glory says you can have your best life now. And for a lot of us, we say, well, boy, if this is all it's going to be, I'm in trouble. No, the blessed life is best described by Jesus in the Sermon on the Plain. And I want you to picture yourself in this. And it goes this way. This is chapter 6 of Luke's Gospel, verse 17 and following. Jesus came down with them and stood at a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all the crowd sought to touch him, for power came out from him and healed them all. Boy, what a picture of Jesus. Don't think for an instant he's changed. Our risen and reigning Savior is still very much on tap whenever we need him. It's just simply a matter of faith, trusting in what he's done. Lord Jesus, you died for my sins. You were buried, you rose, you appeared. Come to my rescue. Help me with this, help me with that. Give your whole list to him. Reach out and have him touch you when you're struggling with health issues. Ask him for help. And if the drought continues, if the heat continues, keep trusting that no matter what you're going through, you are blessed by God. And the curse has been reversed and it's been removed through what Christ has done for you. But then also understand what real life is. I don't know, I heard a lot when I lived in California. How's it going? Living the dream. Do you ever hear that? Living the dream. It's an interesting phrase. I wasn't used to hearing that. And in my background, in true Norwegian fashion, I would often say, when people ask me how I was doing, I would say, so far so good, like I was waiting for the sky to fall and everything to fall apart. So far so good. I said it for years. How's it going? So far so good. And then I worked with a guy named Jerry. He was our facilities manager, and I'd known him for many years, and then I worked with him for quite a few years out in California. And when I came back and started working in Northern California again, you know, I asked him just, hey, Jerry, how's it been going? And he said, so far, so good. And so I had to razz him about it because he was like the next guy. So how are you doing? No one dares say, so far, so good after that. But look, it's not easy for us. It's a challenge for us. What does living the dream look like? What does living, being blessed by God look like? Well, here's what it looks like. Let this shape your understanding of what your life is in Christ and what it looks like. Verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples and said, now here's what the good life looks like. Blessed are you who are poor. Poor in a physical sense, seeing the challenges of making ends meet, making things work, and poor in the spirit, realizing the kind of sinner you can be. Blessed are you. Blessed is your life, for yours is the kingdom of God. You've got it. You've got it because of Jesus. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you shall be satisfied. Hungry not only in the physical sense, Lord, how do I make things work? How do I do a good job for my family? Why, my wife, my husband, my spouse, my children, my neighbors, the people I work with. And also, blessed are those who are hungry for righteousness. You know, this idea of being in, you know, all that God wants you to be. It's okay to see that. It's okay to see how you fall short. That's hunger. And seeing that means you're blessed by God. The next one. Blessed are you who weep now, for you shall laugh. You know, we live in a culture where we don't know how to mourn. You know, when things change in your work, when things change in your home, when there's challenges with relationships, challenges with health and finances, when there are shifts in your lifestyle, mourn them. Certainly when you lose a loved one, mourn. Stop and cry and say, Lord, I'm hurting. I'm hurting. Hold me and help me and heal me. You know, if you're mourning for other people, do it. You know, it's hard to see what others go through. Mourn for them. Lord, I'm hurting for so-and-so. Talk with the Lord and share with him. Share with him your heart when it gets hurt. You know, when it gets ripped open by the challenges and the struggles of life. Mourn. But you are blessed. And not only that, but Jesus says, you shall laugh. In other words, you'll be healed from that. You'll be able to be happy again. The next one, blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and revile you and spurn your name as evil on account of the Son of Man. You know, we all want to be liked. We all want to be accepted. There are times when we share our faith and we get pushed back. Sometimes we get slapped back. It's certainly not a popularity contest, but stand on the word. Keep trusting in the Lord. Share the truth, even if people don't like it. Trust that he will lead you through it, as challenging as it can be. In fact, Jesus says, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For so their fathers did to the prophets. This is your life. This is my life. How's it going? I'm living the blessed dream of God. And this is what God wants for you and me. This is living the dream of God, the life of God. This is what it means to be blessed. Of course, Jesus, in true fashion, also points out the cursed life. Verse 24, but woe to you who are rich, who have all that you need, are satisfied. For you have received your consolation. That's all you're going to get. Woe or damned to you who are full now, for you shall be hungry. In other words, satisfied with everything, not a care in the world. Woe to you who laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when all people speak well of you, for so their fathers did to the false prophets. You know, it's not a popularity contest. Living the dream that God has for us is not a popularity contest. But it certainly is a gift that God has given to us through his Son. And it's interesting. I've known plenty of rich people that think only that people are after their wealth. I've known many of people who are popular, but their life has been a mess because they had to fit in. They had to go along to get along. That's not living God's dream for your life and my life. And God would not want that for us. Rather, God wants us to trust in what he has done for us through his son. When we're asked how we're doing this week, why not say, I'm blessed by God? Why not share the good news? I had a classmate I've known pretty much my whole life. I love him, and I think about him. And when we were in high school, he had a hat that said, life sucks, and then you die. And he wore it every day. Life sucks, and then you die. Are there places in your life where you could wear that hat? Because it isn't easy, and there are challenges. But God has done more than not treat us as we deserve. He has offered up his son to bless our life. So even when it's a challenge, certainly we can lament, we can mourn, but we can say, Lord, bless me. In fact, we can say, Lord, take these very circumstances where I feel like I'm being hurt or where my loved ones are being hurt and help me, Lord, to see that you bless them because I have been blessed by you and all have been blessed by you through the gift of your son. So, I don't say so far so good anymore. Sometimes I say I'm standing on the gospel and falling on it when I need to. But there are days when it gets thick and I just say I'm trusting the Lord. Because that's the life that God wants for you and me. That's the dream he has for us. So, let me ask you in closing, how are you doing? Blessed by God. In the name of Jesus, amen.